Welcome to Conversations with Community Managers, a podcast series with actual community managers from a variety of industries. On this podcast, we peel back the hype and get into how-to discussions that uncover community and social media management best practices. Conversations with Community Managers is a co-production of the Community Roundtable and Voce Communications. This is Doug Haslam of Voce Communications.
And Jim Storer with the Community Roundtable. And we're joined today by Becky Carroll, who's the Community Program Manager at Verizon. Hi, Becky.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Let's get things started by having you talk a little bit about how long you've been in community management and how your career kind of led you into that role.
Sure. Well, my career has been an interesting one, and it hasn't always necessarily been around community, but it's always been around customers. So I've been a customer-focused person for over 20 years, starting with Hewlett-Packard, which is a very customer-focused company, especially in the old days, but I know still is today, and moved into Peppers and Rogers Group, which is also very customer-focused. So, you know, not necessarily community per se, but really working for most of my career to understand the customer experience, understand voice of the customer, and really look to how we can leverage those types of things in business. So before I joined Verizon, I was with Brickfish, which is a social media advertising company out here in San Diego, and was working with their existing Brickfish community and helping them to really grow that community as well as grow the loyalty of the folks in that community. And so I brought all of that with me into Verizon, which I've been doing for about a year and a half, focusing on Verizon's residential community and all of the various pieces of that.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Verizon community itself. What are the pieces of that? And I guess the different different channels you use to engage with folks and get content out there.
Sure. Well, let me give you just a little bit of background on the Verizon community. It's been around for nearly 3 years. It'll be 3 years this upcoming summer. And it started as a peer-to-peer technical support community. So very clear direction there. And we have about 80,000 members in the community. And that particular support forum piece has 12 community leaders that work with us very closely. Actually, they work with each other very closely. But we do keep in close contact with them, and we can talk about that more in a minute. And they answer the majority, probably 70 to 80% of the questions. And some of those folks, they're all customers, have put in over 500,000 hours online in the Verizon community, answering questions and taking care of other customers. So that's a major part, and that's how we started. This last year, I was brought on board at Verizon a year and a half ago to look at the community strategically and say, this is great. This peer-to-peer support community is working very well. Our customers love it. You know, we love it. It's been a great asset. It's been a good way for us to get our customers talking with each other and exploring topics beyond, you know, traditional break-fix support. But how could we grow that into more of a branded engagement community? How could we take that up to the next level? So when I came on board, I brought more of a strategy role to the community, and we started looking at what else we could do. And in this past year, we've launched a few new areas of the community. One is our idea exchange, which allows customers to submit ideas for products and services, either new products and services or enhancements, and to be able to vote on other customers' ideas or comment on other customers' ideas. And that has been a great new tool for the community that both our customers and our company have been very excited about. And in addition, we launched a new feature in October called Room to Learn. And Room to Learn is an educational site. So it's not really focused on how to use Verizon products and services. We've got lots of that. But really, it's educational content to help people participate more fully in a digital lifestyle, which is all around the core products that Verizon Residential is offering. So it's rich in educational content about digital life activities. For example, you know, a lot of people want to learn how to see their pictures on their television, but only a small percentage know how. So we've put together online workshops and tutorials. We've got some blog type articles in there as well, and opportunity for community interaction to help customers get more comfortable with that digital lifestyle and begin to feel a little bit of an expert themselves.
Have your customers decided if it's time for me to buy a 3D TV?
Well, you could come out to Room to Learn and take a workshop that walk you through those considerations, and it might help you make a decision.
I'll definitely do that.
Just to customers. Really, anybody could come out to the workshop, which we're thrilled about.
Awesome. Well, actually, that's a great chance for you to tell us, what's the URL for that?
That is at http://roomtolearn.verizon.com.
Oh, great. Let me ask you a little bit about the idea exchange, because that's, I think, a fascinating way that companies are engaging with customers and I guess just folks out there that are interested in their brand. How do you kind of vet ideas and things like that? Do you have a workflow behind the scenes? And if you can give us some more info on how that works.
Sure. So one of the most important things in having an idea exchange is to make sure you have thought through those processes behind the scenes before you get it going. So if I were to give a tip to anybody who was considering one, make sure you have all of that outlined first, along with a good partnership from your product teams. So engaging our product teams has been probably the key success ingredient to why our idea exchange is working so well. We've got product line managers behind the scenes who are looking at the ideas that are coming in from customers on a weekly basis. So on a weekly basis, they get reports from our team. We send them on over. We show them what's going on with the idea exchange. They physically go out in the idea exchange and then have the opportunity to respond directly to customers, either saying, yep, that's a great idea. That's something we want to take on board. Or, I'm not so sure what you mean about that. Let's get a little bit more information here. Or, you know what, sounds like a great idea, but not really something we can implement. So that interaction directly with the customers around ideas has been a pivotal part of the success. And each product team has their own way of pulling that information into their own organization and putting it into their business planning process, because we have a lot of different product teams at Verizon. But our community team is really facilitating all of that, sending reports out weekly to each of the product managers that we have who are responsible for the various product lines that are represented on Idea Exchange. And then monthly, we hold a meeting with all of our product managers just to kind of touch base, see if they need any help with the idea exchange, and see where there's opportunity for improving the processes.
Have you ever seen ideas come through that folks vote up that you don't necessarily want to implement? And how do you deal with that?
Well, there's always going to be ideas that come in from your customers that, for one reason or another, can't necessarily be implemented. And I think the best way to deal with that is just to be honest and let them know. You know, hey, that's a great idea. Would love to do that, but that's just not something we can do for, you know, whatever reason. And if you can give the reason, you know, even better, because it helps customers feel that you've heard them and you've listened to them. And when we launched the Idea Exchange, I actually spent some time talking to Vita Killian, who was one of the folks that was instrumental in Dell's Idea Storm. And that's one of the keys that she had told me as well, was make sure, you know, if the answer is no, don't just pussyfoot around that, say no. And set that expectation and let them know. And maybe there's another way that something could be done a little bit differently, or they might have a different idea that could accomplish something similar. And then it gives the customers that opportunity and empowers them to go back out and think differently.
Right.
And you just talked about talking with other community managers from other major brands. Do you find that happens a lot? Are you getting those similar types of requests now that you're settled into there? And is that a community where there's a lot of people are sharing those community management best practices openly rather than holding them close as a competitive advantage?
I think it depends on the industry. I can't say I've spent a lot of time talking directly to our competitors, but I think there's a lot to learn from other organizations. And, you know, because I've been in social media for quite some time, I teach social media at UC San Diego. I have a lot of connections with other community managers anyway. So I'll reach out to them and ask them to kind of, you know, if they can bounce some things off of them, or like we did with Idea Exchange, get their ideas or recommendations. And I get some of that in return. A lot of it comes through Lithium. Lithium is the platform that we're using for our community. For most of it, we're using that for everything except for Room to Learn. And for that, we're using Dotchess Group. But Lithium has their own community of their customers. And so we have the opportunity in the Lithium Lithosphere to share with each other, to get ideas, to ask questions, and to share best practices.
Looking at your own community team, how is that structured? Like, say, how many people do you have approximately, and how does the structure work there? Because you know, we think of you as a big brand, and wondering, you know, how much on hands-on management inside the tent there you have to have.
We actually keep it pretty lean and mean.
Okay.
We've got three people officially on the community team. Myself as community program managers. And then I've got a community project manager as well as a community admin. But really, you know, at any time, any of us could step into various roles depending on what's needed. Because our online forums are peer-to-peer, We don't get involved a lot in those discussions, but where we do spend our time in the forums is with our community leaders. So we have a private board where we have the opportunities to interact and discuss things with them behind the scenes, give them support, give them encouragement, and just to get to know them better. So we do spend time there, but it's not that we're out there actively responding to every single conversation in the forums, because that's not really our role. And on the Idea Exchange, we're facilitating the processes that are taking place. And in Room to Learn, we're working very closely with Dacha's group to make sure that we've got the right content. We've got it hooked in with our forums so people can have discussions around it. One of the things I didn't mention in Room to Learn is we have a weekly feature from Alfred Poor, who used to write and still does write a lot of technology features for PC Magazine and other technology journals. And so we facilitate that content. And then the other thing I didn't mention is that we have our blogs are also part of the community. And so we work with the bloggers, we meet with them on a regular basis, share best practices, and support them in the process. So it's a lot of support, coordination, some interaction and activity with community, and really just making sure that everything's running smoothly.
You know, one of the things we hear a lot from community managers is that they're being asked by their companies to do internal evangelism and talk about how social can help individuals kind of talk about the brand and things like that. I wonder, is that something that your team is being asked to do as well?
Absolutely. I spend quite a bit of time on other meetings. One, letting people know that we have this great community that they can use to reach out to customers, interact with them, you know, get ideas from them through the Idea Exchanges. So a lot of people know us in Verizon because of the Idea Exchange. I think that's really helped launch that. And our director, Mark Studis, has really helped drive that throughout the organization with us. So that's been great. And then I play a lot of roles on other social media projects as well, because they all need to integrate. So I would say that probably a year and a half ago when I first came on board, forums were a bit their own animal. Now that we've expanded and we're doing all these other things, so we're becoming a more integral part of the organization, which helps with that internal evangelism.
Speaking of integrating efforts, we've been talking about your on-domain channels, the forums, blogs, Idea Exchange, Room to Learn. How does that integrate with the off-domain channels you have, particularly the wealth of Twitter channels, Facebook as well? Do those play together pretty tightly, or is there a different strategy there?
Yeah, they're not coordinated by my team, but we do work very closely with them. We all sit on the same team. We all report up to the same manager. So, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and the community all work hand in hand. We have regular meetings on a weekly basis to make sure that we're all in sync and touching base. They promote what we're doing. We promote what they're doing. So we just try to keep it so that wherever a customer wants to interact with Verizon, they have at their fingertips the wealth of information and access to all of Verizon's assets. You know, if they want to get into the forum, they want to learn something in Room to Learn, those are shared via Facebook. And we bring Facebook and Twitter right into our community as much as we can as well. We've got a Twitter wall within the community. People can tweet out directly from within it, and it also shows the Twitter stream from our main at Verizon Twitter account. So we work very hard to try to coordinate all that social media, yet do it in a way that honors customer preferences.
Wow. So I want to take a little bit of a sideways step maybe and just ask you for advice. Some of the folks that listen to this podcast are certainly just getting started, and it seems like, you know, you've been doing it for a while, if not directly in community, certainly, and how do you take care of your customers? And I wonder if you've got advice for folks that are just getting started in this field and what they should be thinking about.
Sure. I think for someone who's, you know, thinking about starting up a community or maybe has just stepped into a community management role, a couple of key tips, and I'm sure some of your other community managers have probably echoed these. First one would be listen. I actually teach a class on social media at UC San Diego, and that's what I always tell my students is the first step is to listen. You need to understand where your customers are interacting. Are they on other forums already? And what would bring them to your community? What would bring them to the place where you want them to be? And does that make sense? Or are there better conversations going on elsewhere that perhaps you should engage in? So I think that the listening approach, not just at the beginning but ongoing, helps to understand the best way to engage and interact with customers so that you can meet your business goals but also meet customers' goals. So that would be one. And then I think another really important success factor and tip, and I've alluded to it throughout, is making sure you have, as much as possible, the backing of the organization, the coordination with other parts of the internal team, so that as you uncover things in the community, they could be great ideas or they could be areas of improvement. You've got that connection that you can go back in and bring that voice of the customer back into the rest of the organization. to help coordinate, improve, and also to let your customers know that you are listening and you're responding. I think that's one of the biggest keys for community is that customers know you're there. Even if, kind of like on the Verizon community and the forums, we're there but we're not always present, they know that the administrators and community managers are there, we're available, and if we need to jump in, that we will. And it's important for customers to feel, I think, that kind of safety net.
Great. Let me ask one last question. I'd just love to hear if Verizon's got anything that you're planning for the future in community and social media that you can share with us.
Well, we're always planning something. Right. And we're definitely looking to continue to expand our community, expand the amount of engagement that's taking place, and really based on customer preferences. So again, you know, making sure we understand our customers and what kind of topics they want to be talking about and offer that and make sure that's available to them so that we can support them in the way they want to engage with us.
Well, thank you, Becky Carroll, Community Program Manager for Verizon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Becky.
Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Conversations with Community Managers, a co-production of Voce Communications and the Community Roundtable. To comment on what you've heard, email Doug at voceconnect.com or Jim at community-roundtable.com. You can comment on our blog posts at vocenation.com or community-roundtable.com/blog. Subscribe to this series on iTunes or on our blog.